Играется.
Today's Amud is Yuma Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the fourth to last line from the bottom, the last word of the line. So we were in the middle of going through a braisa which told us about various halachas of asking from the Urim V'Tumim. So says the braisa, Vayter now ein shaylin shnei dvarim ke'echad. There's a halacha that when you ask a shayla from the Urim V'Tumim, so you're not allowed to ask. You don't ask two shaylas together. You ask one shayla at a time. You get the answer, and then you ask the second shayla. But you don't ask two shaylas together before getting a response. The imshal, and if a person does ask two shaylas, so then ein machzirin alechad, he's only going to be answered on one of the shaylas. The ein machzirin loy el rishon. And now it's not just any shayla. He gets responded dafka to the first shayla he asked. The second shayla he didn't ask appropriately, so he doesn't get answered for the second shayla. He just gets answered for the first shayla. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, that the Gemara now is going to bring a raya that you only get answered for one. So the pasuk says that he asked Kiruni Bali Kila Biadoi. David Melech asked. He was in Kila, a city called Kila. He was running away and hiding from Shaul Melech, who was chasing him. And so he asked the Urim V'Tumim, he asked Kiruni Bali Kila Biadoi. Are these people in Kila, are they going to hand me over into his hand, into Shaul Melech's hands? And then he asked a second shayla, Hayere Shaul, is Shaul HaMelech going to come here? So, says the Gemara, V'yomer Hashem Yered. Hashem only responded to one. Hashem told him, yes, Shaul HaMelech is going to come. So you see, even though David HaMelech asked two shaylas, he was only answered for one. But for the Gemara, well, maybe, perhaps you're all thinking, is that that's a raya to the first part of the Braisa. But then the second part of the Braisa told us that it's not just any one of the two shaylas that he gets responded to. He dafka gets responded to the first shayla. And over here, David HaMelech asked two shaylas. He said, are they going to give me over? Is Shaul HaMelech going to come here? So, and what did, which one did Hashem respond to? He responded, Hayered, V'yomer Hashem Yered. He responded to the second shayla. So, frek the Gemara, V'amrit Eimach Zirun El Rishon. But you just told me before that he only gets answered one, but that the one that he gets answered to is dafka the first one. And here in this pasuk, we see that David HaMelech can answer the second shayla that he asked. So says the Gemara, that's because David Shaul shalek seder. David HaMelech asked out of order. You don't ask, are they going to hand me over, or Shaul HaMelech going to come here? First Shaul has to come, and then they hand him over. So David HaMelech asked the shaylas out of order. So really the first shayla, even though he didn't ask it first, the first shayla is Shaul HaMelech going to come here? The second shayla is, are they going to hand me over? So it's true. So v'chziru like a seder. So the shechina, the Urim V'Tumim answered him keseder. It answered him the first shayla, which should have been the first shayla first. V'kevan shi'ada sha'al. Shasha'al shalek seder. Once David HaMelech that he, it must be that he asked out of order. He saw that the Urim V'Tumim responded to the second shayla, meaning because that was supposed to be first, and he asked out of order. So then chazar v'shal keseder. So then afterwards he re-asked, and he asked it in order. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, he then re-asked the shayla that he had originally asked first. Hayaskiru balikila oisi vesanasha biat Shaul. He asked again a second time, are they going to hand me over into the hands of Shaul? V'yomer Hashem yasgiru, and Hashem said that yeah, they do plan on handing you over. Basically, get out. Says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Braisa Vayter. So that was a little bit of a interruption of the Braisa just to clarify things. But now the Braisa continues. V'mhutzro chadavr l'shnayim. Now let's say a person needs to ask two shaylas together. There's no time to wait to get responded to the first shayla and then ask a second shayla. The time is not on their side. So then, machzirin leishnaim. So then you could ask two shaylas and the Urim V'Tumim will respond to both shaylas. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, v'yishal David b'Hashem leimer ha'erdei v'achri ha'gudud hazeh ha'asigenu. He asked two shaylas. He said, first of all, should I chase after them? Second of all, will I be successful? Will I get them? V'yomer loy r'doif. Ki hasek tasek v'hatzel tatzel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered both, yes, go, and you're going to be successful. So you see that when time is on your side, and you need to ask both shaylas together, so then you tackle kud, and then the Urim V'Tumim will respond to both shaylas. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa Vayter, Va'afa pish gzeres navi chayzeres, gzeres umav v'tumim eina chayzeres. And even though when it comes to a navi who says a nevuah, so it's possible that the nevuah will be in this battle, it's possible that even though he says that this is what Hashem has in mind to do, it's possible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will, so to speak, I guess the way it appears to us, change his mind, and it won't actually end up happening. However, when the Urim v'tumim says something, so then it for sure happens, that never gets changed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, b'mishpat ha'urim, that it's called a mishpat, it's like a gzar din, it's a psak, and that doesn't change. Lama nikar shaman urim v'tumim, says the Gemara, why is it called urim v'tumim? Where did they get this name from? So says the Gemara, it's called urim shemi'irin es devrayim, and tumim shemashlimin es devrayim. So the way Rashi explains, is that urim, is that the letters would light up. Meaning when they would ask a shayla from the Urim V'Tumim, the way it responded was that the different letters, the Chayshin, had on it 12 gems. So I guess for now at least we'll just assume that it just had the names of the Shvatim, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, each four rows of three. So Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef, and Binyamin. It had the 12 Shvatim in order on the Chayshin. So when they would ask a shayla from the Urim V'Tumim, so then letters on the Chayshin, on the gems, so on these stones, they would light up. It would look like they were protruding, and they would light up, and that's how you would have the answer to the shayla. It would be scrambled. You had to still unscramble the letters, but that's how you got the response from the Urim V'Tumim. So that was why it was called Urim, because the letters would light up, and it was called Tumim Shemashlimin Es Devrayim, which Rashi says means that it gave kiyum to the words, meaning like we said before, that the Urim V'Tumim, something that the Urim V'Tumim says, is Ein Chayzeres, that never gets changed. So that's why it was called Tumim, because it made it tam, it made it complete, it made it full, that it's going to for sure happen. That's why Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ritva learns that no, it could be, we've mentioned in the previous year, that many Rishonim learn that really the Urim V'Tumim is two different Shemais. It's like Rashi, that the Urim V'Tumim is klaf that had on it Shem Hashem, but they learn that Urim V'Tumim is not one klaf. It's two pieces of klaf. There's the Urim piece of klaf, and there's the Tumim piece of klaf, and it could be they both even had different Shemais on it. The Urim had its Shem, and the Tumim had its Shem. So says the Ritva, that's what it means. That Urim means that the Kain Gadol, or the Kain, who is the big Nishal, so he would look at be mechaven the Shem that was on the Urim, and that's what would make the letters then light up. And then Tumim is the other Shem, is the second Shem. The Kain would be bechaven, the name that was on the second Shem, on the Tumim Shem, and then that would then unscramble the letters, and be mashlim the letters to make them in order. That's the way the Ritva learns. So, Machlaikas Rashi Ritva. Either way, it says the Gemara Vim Taimar Begives Binyamin Mibnei Ma Loi Hishlimui. We just said that the letters always like Rashi at least for now, that the letter that whatever the Urim V'Tumim says, it always happens. So what's Pshata by Givas Binyamin? But the story of Pilagish Binyamin when Klal Yisrael went to war against Shevet Binyamin, so what's Pshat that the Urim V'Tumim seems to have not been correct? Over there it says that the Urim V'Tumim told them to go to war against Binyamin, and during the first 2 days of the war, Klal Yisrael lost many, many tens of thousands of people. So what happened? I thought the Urim V'Tumim, whatever it says, it always stands. So says the Gemara, Heim Shalei Bichnu Im L'Natzeach Im L'Hinatzeach. No. And the first couple times that they asked, they never checked carefully to see if the Urim V'Tumim was telling them whether they were going to be successful or not. It was just saying to go to war. It didn't say whether or not they were going to be successful. U'Bachreina, it was only later, Shebichnu Hiskimu, that's when they realized that it was actually being masked to them and saying that they were going to be successful. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, U'Pinchos Ben Elazar Ben Aaron, they asked after being many tens of thousands of people were killed. They said, should we continue to go out to war in Bnei Binyamin Achi with the people of Binyamin in Echtal, or should we stop? He said to go up, because tomorrow I'm going to give them over into your hands. So then Taka, that's when the Urim V'Tumim said that they were going to be successful, and then the Taka were successful. So, like we said before, it is true that whatever the Urim V'Tumim says is complete. So now, Ketaz Nasis. So now, what was the process of how exactly the Urim V'Tumim formed the answer? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Boltais, Rish Lakish Amar Mitztarfis. Which again, Machlekes Rashi Ritva. Rashi learns that it's Machlekes that Rabbi Yochanan says that the letters would protrude. Perhaps that means that they would light up and it would have the appearance that they were protruding. And Rish Lakish says that no, but if Rabbi Yochanan, they were protruding, but they were in their place. So that means the letters were still scrambled up. So the letters would remain scrambled, and it was the Nishal's job to unscramble the letters, whereas Reish Lakish said that no, the letters actually combined. The letters actually rearranged themselves to actually form the tshuva. That's how Rashi learns. That's Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. However, the Ritva learns, Lashitasle, that we mentioned before, that no, that there was two different Shemais, and the Urim had its function, and the Tumim had its function. And this, what seems to be a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, says the Ritva is not a Machlokes. They're both just describing different aspects of how the Urim and Tumim would respond to the Shiloh. Rabbi Yochanan is responding to the aspect of the Urim that it would light up, and Reish Lakish is describing the aspect of the Tumim, the job, the function of the Tumim, that it would combine the letters to form the correct response. Correct the Gemara now. How could the letters on the Chayshin themselves give us the response? But like Siv Buhu Tzadi, there's no Tzadi. So like for Lamashal, before we said that the Urim V'Tumim, when David HaMelech asked if he should go to war, Ha'asigenu, so the Urim V'Tumim said, Redoivki, Asik, Tasik, V'Atzel, Tatzel. So clearly there was a Tzadi, but there's no Tzadi. If you go through all the different names of the Shvatim, you'll never find a Tzadi. There's no Tzadi in the names of the Shvatim. There's a couple other letters also that are missing that the Gain points out that the Yushalmi asks from, that there's no Chas, there's no Kuf. So how could it be that the Urim V'Tumim would answer with the correct response if it doesn't have certain letters? So I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, that no Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov K'siv Sham on the Urim V'Tumim. So you have to know if you check the picture books to make sure that they bring this, but it doesn't just have the names of the Shvatim. On top, the Rambam, where the Rambam in Perek Ches of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Zayin, is Masber the Gemara, which is really a Medrash, it's a Medrash Rabbo in Shemay Islam at Ches Tes, that the names Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were written on top of Reuven. That's where they were. So the Gemara says Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were written there also. The Medrash, and the Rambam brings it down, the Halacha on Perek Ches of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, says that the names Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were on the Chayshim where they're written, on top of the first gem, on top of Reuven's name, and then Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and then it started the list of the Shvatim. So it did have a Kuf, it did have a Tzadi, it did have a Ches, they were in the names of the Avos, and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Fract the Gemara, V'alek Sev Tess, but there's still no Tess. Even if you add in Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you still don't find anywhere where there's a Tess. So it says the Gemara, Amar V'achar B'Yaakov, Shifta Yeshurun K'siv Sham. It also said Shifta Yeshurun, which again, the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash, sorry, before I said Perek Ches, it's Perek Tess. In Perek Tess, Halacha Zayin. So the Rambam says again, based on the same Medrash that we mentioned before, he says that where did it say Shifta Yeshurun? It said it on the bottom. On the bottom, underneath the last gem, underneath Binyamin, the bottom left corner, the bottom left gem, underneath Binyamin's name, it said Shiftei Yeshurun. Or the Rambam has a different gear, so seemingly he writes Shiftei Ka. But either way, Shiftei has it had a test. That's how it had a test, because it said the word Shiftei Yeshurun or Shiftei Ka. Fract Gemara Meisvei, we said before that the letters would combine to tell us the response. Fract Gemara Meisvei, is that true that the letters would combine? But it says Kol Kain Sheinu Medaber Beruach Hakodesh V'Shchina Shayra Love Ein Shailin Bay. It says that with the Brisa says that if the Kain doesn't have Ruach Hakodesh, so then we can't ask the Urim V'Tumim through him. He can't be the Nishal. He has to have Ruach HaKodesh. The Nishal, a prerequisite to be a Nishal, is that you have to have Ruach HaKodesh. Shenemer, Shahrei Shal Tzadok V'Alsalai, because we find that David HaMelech, when he was running away from Avshalom, so he asked Tzadok HaKoyin, he became the Nishal, and it was Alsalai, it worked. And Avyasar V'Lai Alsalai. But when he asked Avyasar, who didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, it didn't work. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, V'yal Avyasar Atayim Kol Ha'am, that V'yal Avyasar, that they removed Avyasar from his post, meaning because he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, so it didn't work for him to be the Nishal. So you see that the Nishal has to have Ruach HaKodesh. Now if the letters would just do everything by themselves, they would light up and they would unscramble themselves, so then there was nothing left for the Nishal to have to do. Why did he have to have Ruach HaKodesh? Anyone could be the Nishal. The letters formed the answer by themselves. So if it's true that the letters formed the answers by themselves, so why do we need someone with Ruach HaKodesh? So says the Gemara, Sayu Yehav Messiah Bahadayu. The Rashi explains is that even though it's true that the letters would form themselves and light up and form themselves and unscramble themselves to form the response, but we still need the help of the Nishal. The Nishal's Ruach HaKodesh is what then gives kayach to the letters to do what we described before. The Ramban al-Torah in Parashas Tetzaveh, He says a different pshat. He says that the way Rashi learns is so you have a Messiah Behadayu means that it's through the Nishal's Ruach HaKodesh, that's what gives assistance, so to speak, to the Urim V'Tumim to provide, to do its job, that the letters should light up and they should unscramble themselves. The Ramban learns that no. So you have a Messiah Behadayu means it helps the Nishal, that the letters would light up, but then it was up to the Nishal to unscramble the letters. That was the Nishal's job to unscramble the letters. That was his, he had to do with Ruach HaKodesh. And based on that, the Gaon in Kol Elyo, he explains that that's what happened when Chana was davening. We mentioned on the previous Talmud when Chana went to the Mishkan to daven for a child, and Eli saw her davening. We had in Gemara Brachos, so Eli saw Chana davening. So the Gemara over there in Lamed Aleph and Brachos says that when Eli saw Chana davening and she saw that her lips were moving and he couldn't hear anything, so he wasn't sure what her story was. He thought maybe she was drunk. He didn't know what to think of her. So he asked the Urim V'Tumim. And the Urim V'Tumim had letters that lit up, Shin Chaf Reish Hei, which he understood to mean Shikaira, that she was a drunk. So she approached her, and so he approached her, and he reprimanded her, and he said that you can't be davening, you can't be here when you're drunk. And what does Chana respond to Eli? So the Gemara over there says that the pasuk says Loi Adonata, so that you're not an Adon. And the Gemara explains that Loi Adonata means that you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. So what does Ruach HaKodesh have to do with anything? Says the Gaon, Lefi the Ramban, it comes out very nice. What Chana was saying is that you don't have Ruach HaKodesh to unscramble the letters. The Urim V'Tumim, what did they respond to you? Shin Chaf Reish Hei. So you understood that to mean Shikaira, that she's a drunk. But that's you didn't unscramble the letters correctly. Really what the Urim V'Tumim was responding to you was that she's an Isha Kshera. Those same letters, Shikaira, spell out Chaf Shin Reish Hei, that she's an Isha Kshera. That's what Chana was telling Eli, that Loi Adonata, you don't have Ruach HaKodesh to unscramble the letters. You're thinking that I'm a Shikaira, really I'm an Isha Kshera, and I'm not drunk. Says the Gemara Vayter, Ve'ein Shailin Elu L'melech. We said in the Mishnah that it's not anyone that gets to ask the Urim V'Tumim. It was only specific people. We said the Melech. We said someone who the Tzibur relies on, like the Kayim Meshuach Melchama. And we said the Av Bezdin, the Sanhedrin. So says the Gemara, Nani Mili, what's the Makar that's only these people that get to ask the Urim V'Tumim? So says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Avo, the Amar Kara, because the Pasuk says, V'lefnei Elazar HaKayin Yamid V'sholoi B'mishpat HaUrim. So if you look, perhaps on the side of your Gemara, maybe you have the whole Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'lefnei Elazar HaKayin Yamid V'sholoi B'mishpat HaUrim, L'fnei Hashem, Al-Piv Yetzu V'al-Piv Yavoyu. It says, you do whatever it says. Who V'chol B'nei Yisrael, who gets to ask the Urim V'Tumim? Who? V'chol B'nei Yisrael Itoi, V'chol Eida. So it describes three categories. Who? And now the Pasuk's referring to Yoshua. So who is referring to Yoshua? V'chol B'nei Yisrael Itoi, and all Klaiso with him, V'chol Ha'eda. So says the Gemara, we dash in this Pasuk, who's a Melech? Who teaches us that the Melech could ask in the Urim V'Tumim? Apparently the Gemara here assumes that Yeshua had a status of a Melech, so even though who is referring to Yeshua, but that's a general, that we learn from there, a general category of Melech, that a Melech has the right to ask from the Urim V'Tumim. V'chol B'nei Yisrael Itoi, and all of Bnei Yisrael with him, who that referring to Zem Meshuach Melchama, that refers to the Kayim Meshuach Melchama, who leads all of Klai Yisrael out to war, so he has all of Yisrael with him. V'chol Ha'eda, Zu Sanhedrin, that refers to the Sanhedrin, who are called the Einei Ha'eda, so that refers to the Sanhedrin, so that's how we know these three categories, Hadron Lach, Bala Kayim Gadol. So now we start the last parak of Maseches Yuma. Really a whole different, almost like a different Masechta. Until now, everything we've been discussing was mainly was on the subject of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. We mainly were discussing the Avodah of Yom Kippur. I've added there were some tangents, we went off topic a little bit here and there, but for the most part, until this point in Maseches Yuma, the focus was on the Avodah Sayyim of Yom Kippur. From here until the end of the Masechta, the focus is going to be the Halachos of Yom Kippur itself, of the Chamisha Inuyim, the five things a person has to refrain from in Yom Kippur. And without further ado, we'll begin. Yom HaKippurim, Aser Ba'achilo, Ubeshtiyo. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink, Uberechitza, you're not allowed to wash yourself with water, Ubesicha, to wash yourself with shemen, to anoint yourself with shemen. Uvin ilas a sandal, you can't wear shoes. Ubitash v'shamiton, you can't have relations, which each one of these we'll discuss in further details in the Gemara. Hamelech v'akala, your chatzu es peneim. However, a melech and a kala, they have to both look nice. The melech, because he's the melech. A kala, she has to look good to her husband. So then they have a heter to wash their faces. V'achaya tinol as a sandal. seemingly that's a raya that the inuya must not be daraisa. At least achila v'shtiyah, we'll see that's for sure daraisa. It's machlokes rishonim about the other inuyim if they're daraisa or derabanan. So this, the fact that we have a heter for a melech and a kalo because they need to look nice to wash their face, seems to be a raya that it's only midrabanan. Perhaps we'll discuss this more in the hemshach. So the melech and the kalo, they have a heter to wash their faces. V'hachaya tinnelas a sandal, and also a yayladas, a chayo, so a lady who just gave birth, she could wear shoes, because for her the cold would be a sakana, so she's allowed to wear shoes. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's Rabbi Eliezer Shita about all these things. The fact that a melech and a kala wash themselves, the fact that a chayas wear shoes, that's all the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. However, v'chachamim ma'isur, v'chachamim aser all these things. Ha'oicha k'kaisavas agasa, kamaya u'kagarganisa, someone who eats the shear. How much food do you have to eat to be chayav on Yom Kippur? If you eat the size of a large date, kaseves agasa is a large date, with it and its pit, which we'll discuss more in the Gemara. V'hashayis amalei lugmav, if a person drinks amalei lugmav, a mouthful, so for that's the share for eating, that's the share for drinking, a person who eats or drinks that amount, so he's chayav, then he's going to be chayav karis. Kol ha'ichlam itstarfen like a kaseves, all foods combined for a kaseves, if you have some crackers and cheese, even though the crackers was half a shear and the cheese was half a shear, the ma'isa they combine, and if a person together eats a full shear, so then he's chayef, v'chol ha'mashkem itstarfen l'malayim l'ugmav. And so too, all drinks that a person have, they add with each other, they combine with each other to perform a shear. So if a person has half a shear of orange juice and half a shear of grape juice, so they could combine, and if a person has them in the amount of time that necessary, so he'll taka be chayef, even though there were two different drinks. Ha'aycha v'shayseim itstarfen. Someone who eats and drinks, that's not mitzdarif. I mean, even though foods amongst themselves, they're all mitzdarif. Drinks amongst themselves, they're all mitzdarif. But if a person has half a mlay lugmav of liquid and half a kaseves agasa of food, so those two things do not combine. They are separate cheshbonis. Now says the Gemara, Aser, it says in the Mishnah that Yom Kippur is Aser b'achila v'shtiyah. Aser is mashma, like it's Aser, you're not supposed to do it. But it's not just that it's Aser, it's Anush Karisu. In fact, the Gemara, it's an actual Chiv Karis, it's not just Aser, it should have said Chayiv, that Yom Kippurim, if you eat or drink, you're Chayiv, it's not just Aser. Says the Gemara, Amrav Ilo, Vitem Rav Yirmiya, Le'nitzrcha ela l'chatzi shir. When the Mishnah says in the Reisha that Yom Kippur is Aser b'achila v'shtiyah, it's referring to a person who eats a drinks less than the full shear, less than the actual kesevas agasa, less than the mloy lugmav, and then taka is not going to be chayv karis. To be chayv karis, like we said in the hemshech of the Mishnah, you have to eat the full shear. That which the Mishnah describes it as being aser b'achila v'shtiya is talking about it's aser or to eat or drink less than the shear. The Sfas explains how do you see that in the Mishnah that's referring to chati shear. So he says because hagufa in the hemshech of the Mishnah we discussed the shear. It's mashman the ratio. We're not talking about the shear. It's even less than the shear. Also, he says the stam achila v'shtiya is a revius or a stam achila is a kesayis, which is less than the kesevas agasa. We'll discuss more exactly what the shear of kesevas agasa is in the Gemara, but the kesevas agasa is larger than the kesayis. So it says Yom Kippurim is aser b'achila, stam achila is a kesayis. So you see that the Mishnah is talking about chatzis shear. So that's why the Mishnah says that it's just aser and it doesn't talk about the chiyuv karis. However, says the Gemara, Hanich lemad amar chatzis shir asur min ha-Torah, that only works if you hold that there's an iser to eat chatzis shir. When the Torah says you can't have an iser, so we always know that always means a certain amount. Usually it's a kezayis, but Yom Kippur it's a larger shir. Is there an iser to eat less than the shir or not? So if you say that there's an iser to eat less than the shir, so then the Mishnah works. Then you could say that the Mishnah is talking about chatzis shir, even though it's that's why it says asur, because it's talking about eating a person who eats less than the shir. Lemad amar chatzis shir motu min ha-Torah. But if you hold that there's no Isser of Chatzis Shir, we'll see soon that that's Shitas Reish Lakish, that he doesn't hold that there's an Isser of Chatzis Shir. So if there's no Isser of Chatzis Shir, so then Ma'ikel Meimar, how are you going to explain the Mishnah? It can't be talking about Chatzis Shir, because then it wouldn't be Usser. It must be talking about where a person ate a full Shir. If he ate the full Shir, so then it's not just Usser, it should have said that he's Chayiv Karis for it. The Itmar was stated, Machlaikas about Chatzis Shir, that Chatzis Shir, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Asser Minat Torah, Rabbi Yechanan said that it's Asser Midaraisa to eat even less less than the shear. The fact that we have shiurim, that's just for the chiyuv karis, for the chiyuv. The chiyuv is totally in the shiur. But really, does an iser always eat even less than the shiur? Reish Lakish amar mutter min ha-tayra. And Reish Lakish said that no, chatzi shiur is mutter min ha-tayra. There's no iser of chatzi shiur. So this now, again, so Gemara sums up the shayla, hanicha, sums up the question, then hanicha le Rabbi Yechanan. All is understandable like Rabbi Yechanan. You could say that the Mishnah is discussing chatzi shiur. That's why it just says the lashon of aser. El Reish Lakish, ma'ikal meimar. But according to Reish Lakish, who holds that there is no iser of chatzi shiur, so then how do you understand our Mishnah? So says the Gemara, ma'id the Reish Lakish sha'asim the Rabbanan. Even Reish Lakish, who holds that there's no iser chatzi shiur, that's just on the daraisa level. However, even Reish Lakish is ma'id that there's an iser chatzi shiur mid the Rabbanan, and therefore even Reish Lakish could touch up the Mishnah and the Reisha to be referring to chatzi shiur, that Yom HaKippurim is aser b'achila v'shtiyah, is talking about chatzi shiur. Just according to Rabbi Yochanan, that chatzi shiur is aser min ha-Torah, and according to Reish Lakish, the Mishnah is discussing iser chatzi shiur, which is aser mid-Rabbanon.